This is File 59, Cycle 2. This is Jean McMillan. Today's date is July 20th, 2017. I am interviewing Janet Mako. She's going to talk about her job at the Lakeville Journal, being on the board of the Housatonic Child Care Center, and she's also going to talk about the Chamber of Commerce. But first, we'll start with the genealogical information. What is your name?
Janet Manko, M-A-N-K-O.
And when were you born?
July 15th, 1953.
And where were you born?
Newark, New Jersey.
And your parents' names?
My mother was Helen, maiden name Borden, Dribnack, D-R-I-B as in boy, N as in Nancy, A-C-K. My father was Edmund Dribnack.
And you have siblings?
I have a sister, Christine, who lives in Plainfield, New Jersey.
Is it with a K or a C?
C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. Her last name is Patnosh, P-A-T-N-O-S-H.
Thank you. How did you come to the area?
Well, I got married, and my husband and I moved up here because his parents lived up here. We got to know the area by visiting them. His father, Bill Manko, had been transferred up here working at K&E, in Millerton, New York. He was plant manager and just thought the area would be a great place to raise a family. And we did raise our daughter here, and it is. It's a great place.
What's your daughter's name?
Amber.
Lovely. Thank you. All right. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the Lakeville Journal.
Mm-hmm.
Who currently owns it?
It's owned by the Lakeville Journal Company, LLC, and it's a group of investors who believe in community journalism and have all of them have home bases here, but also elsewhere, generally part-time residents, and they run us as a board. Very supportive of our communities, very hands-off as far as what we write about and what we do, and really couldn't be more fortunate that way to have that follow-up to the Bob Esterbrook era.
Now, you worked there in two different times.
I did, yep. In the early 90s, I worked there when my daughter was quite young, and I worked in the production department, graphic arts, and left, went to Hotchkiss and Quality Printing, and came back in 1998 as associate publisher, and later became publisher, and then publisher and editor-in-chief.
You worked your way up. Where is Quality Printing?
Pittsfield, Mass.
I thought so. It sounded familiar. What positions have you held? You've already done that, but tell me again.
Sure. At the Lakeville Journal, in the early 90s, I was a graphics person, and then 1998, I came as associate publisher, then became
publisher,
then became publisher and editor-in-chief.
And as the editor or editor-in-chief, what do you actually write for the paper?
Well, weekly I write the editorials for the Lakeville Journal, and I edit the columns and the letters for that page. So if anybody writes a letter to the Lakeville Journal, I call them and speak to them and confirm that I received it, and if I have any questions about it, I ask them. But I always tell people that if they don't get a call from me, I didn't get the letter. Because sometimes email doesn't work that great.
I know.
Who knows where it goes, but anyway. So, yeah, if anybody doesn't get a call from me, they know I don't have their letter for that week. Our deadline is Monday at 10 a.m. for that week's publication, and we get them in the paper.
Perfect.
We love our writers.
They add a flavor.
They do, right.
They add a flavor. Now, the printing is no longer done here in town.
Correct. Up until 2008, we had a Goss Community web press in that back warehouse at the Lakeville Journal at 33 Bissell Street, and it had four units, so we couldn't print full color on that press for our publications, and that became an issue, and it became an issue of either buying a completely new digital press, mm-hmm. or expanding that one somehow, and it just was too costly of a venture for us, for our little community paper, so we did sell that press to a printer down in Brooklyn, New York.
And what was the name of the press, the first part of it?
The press itself was a Goss, G-O-S-S, Community web press.
I got the rest of it.
And it was designed specifically for community weekly newspapers, of which there still are many across the country. You know. So, and now we print outside at Trumbull Printing in Trumbull, Connecticut, and can do color, and they're a great printer.
And I think you said that your advertisers are the ones that really want the color.
That's right. You know, it came to the point where the advertisers really could get color pretty much everywhere else, mm-hmm. and really wanted it with us, too, if they were going to continue to work with us, and that's what pushed our decision.
Are you planning to stay at 33 Bissell Street, or is there a move in the offing?
We're planning to move, and we do have a buyer, and that's Salisbury Bank and Trust, who has gone before planning and zoning with their site plan and had it approved, but now is still waiting for other regulatory approvals through the banking system somehow. Mm-hmm. So once that's all set, we foresee that going forward, and we foresee moving. We have a couple of locations in mind right now. We've looked at more than 20 across this area, and because of our specific needs, we do have limited places where we can go. It's not just office space. We need to have loading dock space, too, to have the papers come in from our printer, and then our drivers take them out to all the post offices and dealers. So right now there's a place in Millerton and a place in Falls Village we're considering, so we'll see how it goes.
Good. And this is in the near future?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I certainly hope so.
And how much staff do you have right now?
We have about 33, 34 full-time equivalency employees, and we have three offices, one in Winstead, one in Millerton for those two little papers, and then the central location at 33 Bissell Street for the Lakeville Journal.
You didn't ever work at the Journal when it was at Pocket Knife Square then?
No, I didn't. No, that it moved over in 82. Bob Estabrook built that building.
Yep. Oh, I remember.
Oh, my gosh. What a project.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, so we're going to do some writing about that as we come into when we know where we're moving to.
Oh,
we
good.
Come into our next move because
oh,
we have
good.
Information on that. It is. It's, you know, in our little area, it's not that often that the key businesses move around. You know, we are not hearing about Le Bon's moving anytime soon. And so it's a big project. Yeah.
Well,
it was in 82.
I just did Michael Harney
mm-hmm.
on the tea business.
Yes.
And that's another one that started at the basement of the White Hart and
that's
has
right.
moved and moved and moved.
Yeah.
And they employ a large number of people locally.
Yes. Right.
So that was fun. That
yeah.
was fun.
Yeah.
Housatonic Child Care Center. I want to say daycare, but it's Child Care Center.
It is Child Care Center, yes.
Why was the name changed?
Because that's the way that the professionals in that business saw it. They
mm-hmm.
said, we take care of children, not days.
And, yeah, yeah. And
we want to make that clear that it's children. And there are centers that care for the elderly during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted it to
mm-hmm.
be clear, this is for children.
Just children. Okay. And how did you get involved?
Well, I took my daughter there when she was 15 months old and got to know the place, started out in a parents group there. My daughter will be 30 in November.
Congratulations.
Right. And so got to know the place that way. And really, you know, it's such an important resource for the young families in our area. To have young families stay here, we need to have these services for them. And it's affordable housing, it's decent jobs within driving distance, and it's support for their families.
Oh, yeah.
If they don't have that care, they can't stay in this area. They have to have a place they trust that's professional, and so that's what this center is for the people.
As a board member, what does the board actually do?
Well, we would not want to micromanage the professionals in the business, but we do run the financials, do the fundraising, be there as resources for the staff and the director if they need help with anything, and certainly help communicate the mission of the center to the public.
And what is the mission of the center?
Well, you know, we have that mission in all of, you know, and it's to provide loving and safe child care for, you know, children from the ages of, I guess it's 3 months, I think, so 3 months to 6 years old, and be sure that it's available for everyone in the area. When I first started there, it was really just Lakeville, Salisbury, and it was smaller. During my tenure, of course, we raised the money for the new building on Salmon Kill Road after it moved from Wells Hill Road, and it became larger, but part of what has happened now is that people from outside the area could come in, and people who work in Salisbury, the way that it's decided who gets first placement, you know, in as students, is that it's people who live in Lakeville, Salisbury, and then people who work in Lakeville, Salisbury, and then, you know, anybody else, really.
It's like the Grove.
Yes.
The Grove used to be restricted to Salisbury, Lakeville, and, and now it's opened up a bit.
Yes, yeah. And so, but you have the mission statement, I'm sure, from current...
Oh, yes. But it's always nice to just, you know, verify. When did you start with the Teacher Strategic Goal Curriculum?
You asked me that before, and I said you have to ask him
That I can do. But that's the curriculum you're using now.
Yes. Okay. And you know who else would be the real expert on that is the director, yeah. Tanya Roussis. And that is the difference. You know, the board members, we bring our certain skills to the board, and we can help with, you know, I would often help with publicity or with certain things because that's what I've worked in. Mm-hmm. But for directors and the staff, they're the experts in child care, and they do have
Well, now, if you're doing fundraising, do you have special events that you do?
We have over the years. We used to do the house tour, of course, was a big fundraiser for the child care center. Mm-hmm. We haven't done one of those in a while. We don't have board members right now who are interested in doing that kind of thing. And, you know, if they are able to run the center without having to do a large event,
That's fine.
It's a business, and that's what they're doing. But we did the Big Rig recently, which is a great community outreach program. It's a welcoming thing for the kids from the center and their families. We even had grandparents coming in. We had a bunch of people come in just who were interested in seeing what the center was about. And that happens at the center, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many supportive businesses that have these big rigs, you know, this giant equipment that they bring over and just love to see the kids climbing all over. It's a lot of fun.
And you made the point when we talked earlier that this is one of the fundraisers that the kids can attend.
Exactly.
And that's great.
Yeah.
You know, they get to see the equipment. Boys love big things. And they're also, they can get used to the daycare, child care center.
Right.
You know, because it's there.
Right.
So, again, it's a kind of a subtle way of getting them familiar with the environment. And it's a good
thing. And they actually get to show it off to their families in a whole different way. This is their place. And they see their teachers in a whole different way, too. Mm-hmm. The teachers are there running games for them and having fun and... You know, it is. It's a great event, so that's a fun one. And they do an annual appeal, of course, every year, which is really important to their operating budget.
This is a very generous community.
Yes, yeah. It is. It's hard. There are a lot of nonprofits, and everyone is looking for support. And most of those nonprofits send out their appeals toward the end of the year because that's what people give. But then everybody has their, you know, it's hard. You keep going back to the same pockets, so you have to be creative.
Yeah, you do have to be creative, but we got the firehouse and we've got the new ambulance.
That's right. The new ski jump.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, that was fascinating.
It was a big project, and it could not happen in every community.
And the guy said, if we knew how much it was going to cost and how much work it was going to be, we wouldn't have done it.
This is not true of so many things in life. If we knew it was going to be this hard.
Yeah. Now, the center on Salmon Kill opened in 96, but previously they'd been on Wells Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And yeah, that was a capital campaign, and the building, you know, the land was donated by the Pope family,
as we mentioned,
Gus Pope, and what a wonderful community center is there with family services and visiting nurse association and old Trotta's Fields. But Buddy Trotta was also key in pulling things together for that project, and we were able to fundraise the money to pay for the building.
Mm-hmm.
So now they have to maintain it.
Yeah.
Never a simple thing. But
Kim mentioned that they were trying to raise $1,500 for an alarm system for security after
Sandy Hook, and they got 11,000.
Yeah.
You know, that shows the community.
Yeah.
That shows the community.
That's true. Yeah, people were so supportive of, and so, yeah, they were able to do other maintenance work at that time that mm-hmm. was geared towards security, too, mm-hmm. which is, mm-hmm. you know, really mm-hmm. helpful.
Now, the child care center starts actually teaching children readiness for school at about age 3, potty trained in 3 to 6.
Yes, right.
And they actually do learn things. I mean, it's not
yeah,
all...
They have a real curriculum yeah. because, you know, they have state approvals and regulations that they have to meet, and they do NEASC, and they have... It's a really structured system, mm-hmm. and that's why the people who work in it, they really are, they're not just trained, but they're professionals. And
oh, yeah.
They do have ongoing training mm-hmm. that helps them to provide really good care, not yeah. just maintenance care for these kids.
No, there's more to it than that.
Yeah, but
there's
really
the muscle development, and there's the early childhood training, and knowing what to do first, second, and third, because some kids aren't ready for this, and so you have
really
to...
Really evaluating the kids, yeah. and they do, and they are able to evaluate kids if they have any special needs, like if they needed some help with speech, they mm-hmm. would have those resources available mm-hmm. to them from Salisbury yeah. Central. And through the Nurses Association.
Speech, hearing, eyes, mm-hmm. all of that.
Everything,
of that.
Yeah. And so it is good that they can be evaluated, and it's so good for the kids to socialize with these same... peers that they're going to go forward through school with.
Yeah, the socialization is a big part of it,
yeah.
particularly if you're a single child.
Yes.
And you don't have brothers and sisters or cousins to play with.
Right.
And you are taught how to treat your friends, and right. you know, you're not going to hit them.
Yes, right.
We hope.
Something will happen if you do.
Yeah.
And it's good for the parents as well, because
they need to socialize,
they
too.
They need to socialize, too. It's a time of life when they can become isolated mm-hmm. from those around them, even those in their same age group, and especially if they don't have family around, it's much harder. So, still, it is nice for them to see
parents,
their own ages, that are doing the same thing they're doing.
Now, you've been on the board off and on for a number of years. Generally, how has the children's center changed? The curriculum has changed, obviously, because when they were at the Methodist Church or when they were at Wells Hill, there wasn't the focus on teaching at that time.
Yeah, I'll say that, you know, around the time of the early 90s when my daughter was little, that's when really they started to mm-hmm. look at that and mm-hmm. Talk about school readiness more mm-hmm. and the alphabet and all that. Though I'm not sure what they did in the Methodist Church by the end. You know,
it was mostly babysitting at that point because it was beginning.
Yes,
you know,
right.
It was a group of local ladies that thought this would be a good idea, and they put it together. And you know, there wasn't early childhood training and curriculum, and it wasn't as formalized at that time.
And in general, even state regulations weren't as formal at that time.
No.
And
no.
so, but I do know people who had their children in that program at that time. It was a great help to them at that time in their lives.
Oh, yeah. When there's been a need, somebody in the community has filled it.
Right.
One way or the other.
Right.
And it's usually been ladies in the community that see a need for something and they say, well, we'll do it.
That's right.
You know, it's a great community.
It certainly worked with this. So, yeah, that is the biggest change, I'd say. And, mm-hmm. plus, you know, the move from Wells Hill Road to here, much more space.
Oh, yeah.
As far as the building itself goes, of course, the playground area outside was much smaller, just because that's how the land played mm-hmm. out, and the building took up more space. It just happened that on Wells Hill Road, that little house had a pretty big backyard.
Yes, it did. I live next door.
Yes, right?
I know.
It was totally different. And so that's been a challenge, and they are actually right now trying to raise money to get new playground equipment. That's always a thing, because that goes in trends, where for a while the metal stuff was all in. Then it had to be that wood stuff.
Yeah.
And now it's generally plastic. So whatever they come up with, another challenge they have with that playground area is they have to have very deep wood chips.
Sure.
So, and they have to renew those every year, so that's a good surface for the kids.
The playground at the Grove has got some sort of base, and it's soft.
Yes, right.
And that's something
another
new.
Alternative. Yeah, and it's not cheap, but maybe if they raise money for this playground capital campaign, maybe they can get that, and then they don't have to do the wood chips.
Because that was fascinating to me.
Yeah.
You know, we used to play on dirt and cement.
That's right. Which sometimes resulted in disaster.
Yes.
But
what positions have you held while you've been on the board?
Well, I guess that I've done just about everything over the course of time. I did vice president, president, secretary for quite a time.
Treasurer?
I was not treasurer. That I did not do. So not everything. Nominating I did. I guess that's... I did building and grounds.
Oh, that's fun.
Too,
that's fun.
Yes.
Okay. How often do you meet?
Once a month.
And when?
It's the third Tuesday of the month.
And where?
Right now we're meeting at the Child Care Center, which is actually great. For many years we met at the Town Hall, which of course is fine too, and they're very accommodating with that. But it is nice if board members aren't usually at the center, if they're not parents at that time, it is nice to go in and see the results of the programming and you know what the center is like. So.
And do you have term limits?
Well, you know, the term limits were written out when I first came on the board to be 2 3-year terms, so 6 years. And we kind of stuck to that, but it became harder and harder as time went on. And so after my first 6 years, I did leave for, I think, a year and then went back. But it's become harder and harder on these boards to find people to replace people going off of
them. Oh, yes.
And it's, well, part of the problem is that we don't have the same younger population, you know, to meet the older people who are stepping off. But some of it is just a willingness and an ability to volunteer and have the time to do that.
Yeah.
Because if you're working two jobs or three jobs and you have a family and, you know, you can't.
You can only stretch so far.
Yeah. And so it is. It's an issue. And
it's an issue whether it's a church or whether it's a book club or whether it's a patriotic organization. It's the same thing.
Well, and most importantly, you know, fire and ambulance. And,
oh, yes.
You know, for those volunteers, it's really incredible that they're still functioning as they are with the volunteers they are.
And the training that they have to go through is incredible.
Right, and that's a place where you really see the difference from, you know, 30 years ago as far as what they have done. So, yeah, everything has changed in that way.
I guess everything changes. What are some of the benefits of the Child Care Center?
Well, we talked about them a little bit, but I'll say again that the benefits for the kids are socialization, school readiness, being part of a group, getting to know as friends and colleagues, their young colleagues, the other kids they'll be in school with. It's a good basis for their lives in the community. They learn about cooperation. They learn about teamwork.
You know, they learn about sharing.
They learn about sharing. And they learn about sharing with everybody, not just, you know, a cousin or, you know, a sister or brother. But they learn about sharing with kids they may have just met that day. And so for all, and they learn about teachers and how to relate to teachers and how that structure operates and who they are. And they, you know, the school bus will, when they start going to pre-K or kindergarten, will drop them off. And so the little kids see that school bus drive up with the big kids. You can't see my air quotes, but I'm saying big kids. On it, and they look forward to that next stage in life in a very real way. They see
that
it's very real. And it's so sweet. So, yeah, that's good. And I think it's good for the parents for many of the same reasons we talk about. Socializing with other parents who are in the same community or nearby, and feeling that their children are well cared for, that's so important, so they can go ahead and do their jobs and whatever else they have to do.
And there's peace of mind in that.
That
you know your child is safe.
Yeah, there's, you know, nobody's ever totally safe anywhere.
No.
But you can certainly feel confident that, you know, they're as safe as they'll be anywhere.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now I'm going to ask you a little bit about the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
All right?
Good.
I'm assuming you got involved in that because of the journal.
Yes, the journal, of course, a big part of what the Lakeville Journal, as a media company in this area, does is connect with businesses. We certainly over the course of, you know, the past 120 years, have connected with all the businesses in the region, and our ad roles pretty much reflect whoever is here. And so that's very important to us as a community, as well as the Lakeville Journal as a business. So we had been involved with the Chamber for a long time.
Now, it used to be Salisbury, but now it's Tri-State.
Now it's Tri-State Chamber. Yep. When John Lannan, who's from Canaan, who's the same guy who runs Railroad Days over there now, mm-hmm. he just finished up with that,
yep.
was president of the Chamber, he had the vision that really, because of the way our area is, mm-hmm. it should be able to have members from our Tri-State region, because that's our economic
yep.
community, really. Certainly, we go food shopping in Millerton, we go to the movies there,
yeah.
we go up to Great Barrington,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
you know, it's just much more of a cohesive community mm-hmm. than, say, looking at Hartford or
yeah.
Albany or, you know. So, it is, we welcome people from three states.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly still, we have, most of our members are from Connecticut,
yeah.
but we do have those from Massachusetts and from New York State.
When did it change to Tri-State, roughly? In the 90s?
I'd have to look that up.
I've been trying to get Sue Dickinson for years.
To give you that date? I could find that out for you.
Okay.
I can pin that down.
If you would, I'd appreciate it.
Because John Lennon would know, actually, and he's back on our board now, so I'm going to see him next week.
Oh, good.
After he's relaxed a bit from our road days.
Oh, yeah, I was reading about that.
Yes.
And what offices have you held with the Chamber of Commerce?
I've been on the board as secretary, and I'm still secretary.
Oh, that's a wonderful job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yes, it is. And I did it, as I mentioned, for the Child Care Center for quite a number of years, and it's an important job.
Oh,
because,
yes.
You know, it really does keep the history together.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so I definitely always keep the books of minutes together and keep that going so that the organization
important.
Knows what
yeah.
happened. So we can answer questions like you just asked. When I think back, when was that?
Yeah, it's hard.
I should be able to look that
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it's hard to pinpoint. What's the purpose of the Chamber of Commerce?
Well, it's to build community through commerce. That's their slogan, and that's really it, to support businesses in this area in whatever way we can. One of the events that John Lennon actually started with when he was president was the Trade Festival, which we would have at the high school at Hoosie for many years, and that was a vendor fair where businesses could rent a booth and show their wares, and it would, you know, we would have music and kids' events and all that. Over the years, and especially at the time of the Great Recession,
yeah,
we'll call it, 2007, 2008, it became harder for businesses. That's when a chamber really has to
work
harder and really communicate with businesses and mm-hmm. see what we can do to just help them through that time.
Yeah.
And we're all in business ourselves so that we understand all too well how hard it can be, especially in a rural area like this, to get through that
yeah.
time. And so at that time, we sort of changed it over, and we changed the venue. And as it evolved, we do that event. We did it most recently as the Taste of the Tri-State, and we had it up at Hotchkiss. And it was really fun. There was one area for food and beverage tasting, and another area also for the vendors and lots of kids' events. And we did have good attendance.
Wonderful.
So it's a way to get people out. We did it in March, so it's a nice time to sort of come
oh,
out
yeah.
yeah, and shake off the snow from winter and get to see people who you haven't
yeah,
seen
in
a couple
in
months. Yeah.
Do you still do the Christmas trees?
We do. The hometown holidays. That's
oh.
that's one of the most fun things. Especially now that the White Hart is open again, it is nice to have the tree lighting in front of the White Hart. When that was closed, we moved it around a bit, but still did it. And we have Santa for the kids, and we bring in, you know, little toys and stuff that Santa.
I didn't know when I married my husband in 82 that I was going to be doing Christmas trees. 92 Christmas trees, Foster and I did.
Did
by ourselves.
That? Yes, yes.
Yes, and there was an article in the paper about Foster McMillan and his committee, and I said, "Who's the committee?" He says, "You were."
Yeah.
And we would go out every night and check that they hadn't taken the bulbs or taken the strings of the bulbs or taken the tree, the strings of the bulbs.
That's huge. I can't believe you two did that because it is. It's a
we
major
had 92
project.
Trees. We had 92
and so
trees.
We've taken it. So and that's Adopt a Tree, the other
yep.
side of Hometown
yep.
Holidays. And so around, I guess, around October, we send out the letters to everybody saying, would you like to adopt a tree?
Yep.
And then they do. And whatever they donate, that supports the purchase of the lights and having and the trees
yeah.
and you know
yeah.
and it is our it's our volunteer board. I never help with that personally because it's always on Monday morning and that's our busy time
oh,
at
sure.
the journal. But everybody else on the board does, and Salisbury Garden Center, Eric
yeah.
Mendelson and
yeah.
all his guys come
yeah.
down and
yeah.
help too. And we've had some town crew people who come
yeah.
in now too. So you'll be happy to know, unlike when you and Foster did it,
oh.
We found a way to have more support because really, you know, the town doesn't have to do their own decorations that way.
Yeah.
The chamber takes care of that for them.
And
so,
it is so beautiful.
It is so, you know, it's just so subtle and yet festive.
It's just so beautiful coming through town
yeah.
and seeing the trees lit.
Yes.
But
as it is, Eric is the one now who goes around and worries about all the bulbs. And
oh, good.
He just can't stop, you know, looking. And especially
yeah.
if it snows in between, he'll
yeah.
and a tree will get knocked over.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
And if you've done it, it's like waitressing. If you've done it once, it stays with you.
Yes.
You know,
right.
and I go through and automatically I'm looking.
Isn't that true?
No.
Well, if you see
yeah.
something, let Eric know. And, you know, we've gone up. You did 92 trees, you said. We've done as many as 150 and found that really it was too much to get
yeah.
done and then
yeah.
keep track of.
Yeah.
So now I think last year we did 120.
Yeah, it's about right.
That's about right.
Yeah,
you can only do so many and keep
yeah.
it looking nice.
And keep it looking nice.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you'd like to add to this interview before we close?
No, I appreciate you doing it. I just think it is great that you're keeping track of what's happening in our town, our community, mm-hmm. and I hope, you know, you learned a little something about the few things I've done.
I certainly have.
Yeah,
and I appreciate your time and your knowledge.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Happy to be here. Thank you.